Well, thanks for joining me. It's a delight to be able to pray for you and with you, and especially for this world. Let's pray for Vladimir Putin. Let's pray for Zelensky. Let's pray for Joe Biden. And let's pray for all these world leaders, for all the conflict that's going on around the world and really in the hearts of a lot of people. I know, you know, the war is a national thing. I also think of the wars that are raged within the human heart. You know, war comes on a scale between two or more individuals or groups. You know, it can be between an organization, a country. It can become on a large scale between nations. But the root of war is the same. You know, war comes from a heart or hearts that have not yielded to Christ. And that's why I believe in praying for the conversion of those who are divided. I have seen the fruit of prayer. I believe it. And I know it will have an impact. And I just feel so humbled, so honored to be able to begin today a novena of chaplets, asking God for peace. This is leading up to what will happen on March 25th. As Pope Francis has announced, he will consecrate Russia and the Immaculate Heart and Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart of Our Lady. Now, this was requested by Our Lady in those famed apparitions in 1917. Several popes had tried to do it. John Paul officially did it on March 25th, 1984. And even the Vatican today, I saw a report earlier today, they said that has been accepted. That was valid. And I believe it was valid. But I think grace sometimes can be rejected. It can be accepted. And I do believe that what Pope Francis is doing here will bring about a real positive change. So I'm a tremendous peace about what's unfolding. You know, a lot of people are very concerned to where this can lead and whether Vladimir Putin's end goal is to create the old, you know, the old Russian Empire. And, you know, I'm not fearing it at all. I'm not going to fear war. I'm going to trust in God when my time comes. When your time comes, it's your time. Be right with God. Let's pray, though, right now. We'll begin our novena of chaplets. We'll do this every day leading up to that powerful consecration. And I'm delighted to be part of it. In fact, next Friday, I'll be live with Father Rocky at 11 o'clock in unison with the Holy Father. Both he'll be in Rome. His envoy will be in Fatima, Portugal. So there's two prayers I was debating over praying with you. I'm going to share the one that was written by the Holy Father. There's a beautiful one from the World Apostle of Fatima as well. It's a novena for peace to Our Lady of Fatima. We're going to post that on our Twitter page every day so you can get access to it. But join me as we begin with this prayer, and then we'll take a few of your calls and we'll start our chaplet. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Again, this was written by Pope Francis. He says, Lord God of peace, hear our prayer. And we've tried so many times and over so many years to resolve our conflicts by our own powers and by the force of our arms. How many moments of hostility and darkness have we experienced? How much blood has been shed? How many lives have been shattered? How many hopes have been buried? But our efforts have been in vain. Now, Lord, come to our aid. Grant us peace. Teach us peace. Guide our steps in the way of peace. Open our eyes and our hearts and give us the courage to say, never again war. With war, everything is lost. Instill in our hearts the courage to take concrete steps to achieve peace. May peace triumph at last. And may the words of division and hatred and war be banished from the hearts of every man and woman. Lord, diffuse the violence of our tongues and our hands and renew our hearts and minds so that the word which always brings us together will be brother and our way of life will always be that of shalom, peace, salam. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. It's a beautiful prayer written by Pope Francis. There's a beautiful prayer by the World Apostle of Fatima as well. To Our Lady, who personally requested this prayer, we'll post them both up there, and if I have time, maybe I'll share that other prayer with you. But let's turn to our Lord. Now, let's invoke his mercy. He told St. Faustina, the world will have no peace unless it turns with trust to his mercy. So that's what we're going to do right now. I'm delighted to welcome a new colleague of ours. Tom is a new associate producer here at Relevant Radio, and I want to welcome him both to the network and to our spiritual family. Tom, good afternoon.
Hey, thank you, Drew. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good to have you here. Anything you want to pray for as we start our chaplet?
You know, I was giving this a thought, and I'd really like to pray for my mom, who's been sick over the past year and a half now, and just for like a good recovery for her, because she's been really struggling with illnesses.
Well, I'm glad to pray for that. We've had tremendous results the prayers during the chaplet, and I have no doubt that our spiritual family will be praying for your mom as well. Let's begin. And Lord, my intention for this novena of chaplets is for peace, for the intentions of the Holy Father, and for my spiritual family here who prays with me every day. Be merciful and hear our prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, fill up the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, our first call today comes from Edward, praying with us in Sacramento, California. Good afternoon, Edward.
Hi, Drew. How you doing?
Hey.
Just want to say hello to all the prayer warriors.
Amen. Good to have you.
Calling to pray for the vocation of being a husband. I met this woman most recently. I'm getting a little shook up, and things are going really well. She's a Catholic school teacher, and then I just feel like the evil one's just kind of gotten away, and things have kind of slowed down to almost to almost nothing. And I just ask if it's God's will that we find a way. And just a real quick, and I got the chaplet, the book, and all my life since 1986, God's been showing me the number 37, and I opened up page 37. And lo and behold, there was the picture of divine mercy. So I got to get this on an email one day and share it with you.
I love it. Well, look, let's pray for you and your relationship right now. Edward, thanks for calling. I love it. Yeah. And, God's got somebody for you. I know you're praying for a spouse right now. And if this school teacher is meant to be, then let's ask God to remove whatever obstacles may be there. Just to make it clear, you know, I think it was St. Thomas Aquinas or Augustine, one of those great fathers I can never remember, that said, when you are praying for the will of God, the two lungs that breathe the will of God are peace and joy. And if you have that, then you know you're making the right decision with this girl and with whatever else we do. So, Lord, I pray for Edward. I lift him up right now. I pray for all those discerning spouses, discerning marriage, discerning vocations in general, job changes, relocations. Lord, you know the decisions that often come. I ask for the Spirit to be sent in a special way to illuminate the mind and to convict the heart, so those decisions may be clear. And we ask that we walk along your path as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to St. John, Indiana next. Denise, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. I have two sort of emergencies. We have a very good friend. Child is 17 months old. I've never heard of this. She actually has severe arthritis. She's going to have to be put under anesthesia for them to do some sort of a injection. And then her mom every week will have to give her a shot. It's just heartbreaking. She was walking normally, you know, behaving, and then all of a sudden this hit her. So that's the number one. The number two is I have my sister-in-law, who's like a sister to me, suffering with bipolar. This has been going on for years, but now, again, like many bipolar people, she's not taking her medication, and we're very worried.
Yeah, that's difficult. I'm so sorry, Denise. Let's pray for these two very difficult situations. Look, be at peace. Put your trust in God. Pray deep. Pray hard. Hold out that big cup. And we're going to pray right now.
I will.
We'll pray for your sister.
Thank
you. It's so hard when somebody struggles, whether it's being bipolar or being dealing with an addiction, and you can't help them. They're adults, you know, or they choose not to take their medication, or choose not to make those right decisions. And Lord, I ask for your intercession right now. I pray for all those who are suffering from addiction. And I ask for your liberty and your healing of that addiction. I pray for that now. I pray for those with bipolar disorder, those who need medication to regulate the ailments and maladies that seem to afflict them. And I just ask that they're receptive to that, they're open to that. And we thank you for the gift of medicine. We thank you for pharmaceuticals. We thank you for the healing that comes from that, or for the regulation of the body as a result of that. And I just ask for Denise's sister. Today, there be a change. We pray for the 17-month-old child, and I pray for healing for that child completely. 17 months old with arthritis and a future of nothing but shots. I ask that in some miraculous fashion, Lord, to the astoundment of doctors, you bring healing. And I pray for anyone today suffering from RA, from arthritis in general, any parent who's got a child that's ill. Lord, I give you these souls. I gather them before the foot of the cross of your Son, and I pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Our next call. Before I go to Leticia, or is it Leticia or Leticia? Leticia. Before we take Leticia in West Covina, California, we bring Maggie in. She has been monitoring all your prayer intentions that come in. I see all those in the inbox, drew@relevantradio.com. And thank you for taking time to send me your answer prayers. Gotten several of them just yesterday, and I'm so grateful. Continue to send them in. Maggie's on our Twitter handle, a Twitter account right now. Maggie, what's coming in there?
We got a note from Helen earlier today. She said, my son Jerry fell out of a second-story window last year. He's having difficulty with a recovery, has compromised immune system, and I guess he has surgery tomorrow. So let's pray for Jerry. Marilyn wrote to us. She said, Drew, please include my mother Lonnie McDowell. She's 89 in your Chaplet of Divine Mercy. We sent her to the hospital Saturday. She was dehydrated, had low potassium, and she suffers from dementia. She's not eating, and her seven children decided not to go with the feeding tube in her stomach, so she's coming home to hospice. Lewis wrote to us and said, please pray for Paul's daughter. She's having a brain tumor removed today. It will be a long day of waiting. Please pray that the operation goes well. Monica wrote to us. She said, please pray for my niece Hannah, who is 10 years old with Down syndrome. She's battling leukemia for the third time in her short little life. Wow. She just had a bone marrow transplant last Wednesday. Oh, sorry. That one's kind of...
I know, it's terrible.
Yeah. And then lastly, Daisy wrote to us and she said, please pray for my husband, Luis, as he takes a test for a new job, that he may get the job if it's God's will, And if it's not, may he be led to the right job, and also healing for my grandma and aunt.
Well, all right. Well, let's lift him up. Let's pray. Gosh, that's heavy intentions. So many crosses, so many people carry. Let's add Letitia to the conversation as well. Hi, Letitia. Thanks for joining us. Good afternoon.
Hi, I'm asking for prayers for my daughter. She's 10 years old and is struggling to go to school. She's crying, and I'm really concerned. I've reached out to the counselors for help, and it's just been a struggle, even more so this last week. And I just needed to call and ask for prayers for her.
I'm so sorry.
Also for my husband, for his conversion. And my sister-in-law for healing for her. And lastly, for the soul of my dad. Yesterday was his birthday.
Well, we're going to pray for you. Again, be at peace. Put your trust in God. And I know how difficult it must be. I can't imagine having a 10-year-old daughter struggling that way. And, you know, today's a day. This is the third call or so or intention that has come up dealing with children. And Letitia, let's take your child to the Lord. Lord loved children, said, bring them unto me. And I believe very deeply in the power of this prayer. I do. The Lord told us, the soul gives me the greatest glory, you know, when it trusts in my mercy. And we're told in Scripture, in Proverbs, trust the Lord with all our heart, right? Don't lean on your own understanding, but put your trust right now in God. I know He hears these prayers. I know He can heal those emotional wounds. I know He can resolve any situation that your daughter or your family's facing right now. That goes for all of us right now. Lord, I give to you all the souls united. We heard all those intentions that have come in via email and Twitter and all those united with me in prayer. I just ask you to resolve those difficulties we face. Remove those obstacles on the path we're trying to traverse. Give us the fortitude and the grace to accept and follow your holy will. And I intercede and ask again for an abundant torrent of graces to fill those who need it and for miracles as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Illinois. Sharon is praying with us there. Hi, Sharon, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Drew. Thank you so much for taking my call. I just wanted to call today with a prayer of thanksgiving for answered prayers.
Yeah.
I called 2 days ago and tried to get in on the chaplet and have my intentions voiced, and I didn't make it on air. But I believe in the power of this mm-hmm. prayer, and most especially the power of this community, all saying this prayer together.
Amen.
And my prayer was answered. My son has been hospitalized for over 2 weeks with serious mental health issues and had been refusing treatment. And we were at our wit's end. He had even cut off communications for his parents since he's an adult. And we were just hoping beyond hope that he would finally listen to the doctors, take some meds, try them. And he did. And he reinstated the releases. I just talked to him before your show, and he's doing so well. It's so encouraging. For the first time in 4 years, he's finally making positive progress.
Oh,
it sounds like
God.
My son is coming back.
Oh, it's so good. I'm so happy for you, Sharon. I am so happy. And, you know, your call's perfect today. I think the Lord wanted you on the air today, especially for that other caller who called in who's dealing with a child with bipolar disorder and won't take the medication, or sister, I should say. So if you do me a favor and you get a chance, Sharon, we're going to pray now for your continued healing of your son, that he can be restored in complete health and be a wonderful member of your family. So, send me that email. Sit down and write. Say, you know, Drew@relevantradio.com, and send me that answered prayer. And you know what? I'm glad you called on another reason, too, because not everybody can get through. We only have so many phone lines. There's only so many people who can get on the air. And you might think, because I don't get on, the Lord's not going to hear my prayer. Sharon is such a witness to the power of our communal prayer, how God hears all of our prayers, and how there's an amplification of our prayers we gather together at this time. I'm so convinced that this prayer and in this hour and our spiritual family move the heart of God. Faustina in her diary many times talked about how she almost felt she compelled the Lord to answer her prayers by her prayers and sacrifices, you know? How much more will all of us praying deeply with trust and faith and love bring about the answer to prayers? How will we move the heart of God? I'm convinced that's why so many miracles are reported. Sharon, let's pray for your son. Let's pray in thanksgiving too for that answered prayer, because God often uses the natural in a supernatural way. And I just, Lord, give you Sharon's daughter, anyone who needs therapy or treatment or medication, anyone who needs healing psychologically, emotionally, physically, Lord, I give you those souls, and I give you our children in a special way right now too. But we do thank you for your mercy, Heavenly Father. I pray in thanksgiving, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Frank is praying in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Frank, thanks for taking time to join us.
Hi, Drew.
Hey.
My vision is restored, that the use of my legs is back to normal. I can barely walk and barely see. And digestion problems are corrected, because I do not. I suffer with severe malnutrition. I don't break down vitamins, fats, minerals, right? I got a lot of health problems. And also your producer, Tom, his daughter, for last week, I'm keeping her in her prayers. And I think he mentioned his mom today, so all those.
Hey, thank Frank. Thank you. My producer, Tom's daughter, is battling cancer. Her name's Regina. If everyone could pray for her, it would be great. The family's going through a difficult time. And, you know, he told me today the cancer is not only in the brain, but now in the lymph nodes. And, you know, I can't tell you how serious that is. I'm always a man of hope and in faith. And we've seen cancer disappear. So I have to maintain my own faith and trust. If it's God's will that she's healed, what a testimony to divine mercy. And, you know, if not, we pray for this family, that they have the graces they need to endure what's coming. And for you, Frank, with all the struggles you have, I prayed once when I was in Peru at the tomb of a very great saint. Her name was Saint Rosa Lima. And she is known for a very famous saying. She once said that without the burden of afflictions, it's impossible to reach the height of grace, that the gift of grace increases as the struggle increases. And I know losing the ability to walk, not being able to see, all of us, as we pray right now, as you go through these difficult times, as the burden of your affliction increases, know that the grace increases as well. As the struggle increases, so does the grace. God's with you. God's grace is there. He wants you well. He wants you healed. He's got a brighter future for you. You might have to carry your cross a little bit longer. Keep that faith. Keep praying. Keep trusting. Let's see what God has in store for us today, and maybe what good news he has in store for us tomorrow. Lord, I give you the needs, wants, desires of all who are now united with me in prayer. I thank you for your mercy. And I pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
have mercy. Pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escrivá,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Join me every day at this time for this prayer. Every day we will be offering this chaplet up for the next 9 days leading up to the Pope Francis' consecration of Russia and Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Father Rocky will be praying the rosary tonight at 7 p.m. Join him for that prayer too. Another powerful prayer that our Blessed Mother in Fatima asked us to pray. We've seen the fruit of it against atheistic communism. I think we'll see the fruit of it again. I'll be right back.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
When it comes to outside transmission, the New York Times even said that it's so rare that there's not one case documented in the entire world of COVID being transmitted outside, especially in the summer when it's so hot. Does that change your mind on the mask?
No. I just want to keep myself safe and take precautions just in case.
Even though you're vaccinated?
Yeah.
Are you sure? You don't want to take it off and kind of go back to normal?
I'll wear it for a little bit longer.
So you're not going to wear it forever?
No.
Just kind of after the dust settles and things go back to normal?
Yeah.
Did you ever catch COVID or no?
I did, yes.
Was it bad?
It was mild. It lasted for like 2 weeks.
So you've already got it. You're vaccinated. And even if you got it again, it wasn't so bad the first time? You're still wearing a mask?
Yes.
Okay. When it comes to outdoor transmission, the stats are very low when it comes to transmission, especially if you are vaccinated. So is this more just like of a comfort thing, or are you hoping to kind of keep yourself safe from the sickness?
It's just a comfort thing in general. I don't really think I'm going to catch it, but since I don't notice the mask that much, I just keep it on.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app.
Yeah, I think... people like wearing their masks. I'd love to hear from you today, too. Let's talk about it for a little bit. I want to talk about masks and what we're going to see in the future. I got my hair cut a couple days ago, right? And I was in a state that had their mask mandate in place longer than any other state in the union. And it was the final day. The mask mandate had gone away. The next day, I went in to get my hair cut. And I go in there. There's all the people wearing masks, all the girls that are cutting hair, and a couple guys in the chairs, all their masks on. I came in without mine. I sat down. Suddenly, I thought, gosh, did I get my dates wrong? I thought the mask mandate was gone. So I look around. I run back out to my car and get it. And no, the mask mandate was gone, but I was the only one without a mask. I kind of felt, you know, I felt guilty, not guilty, but awkward maybe is a better word. I mean, like, should I put it on? Are they that nervous about it? So I was having an issue with my phone the following day. I stopped by the mobile phone store, right? And I talked to the guy there, and all of a sudden, he puts his mask on. And I'm thinking, I said, oh, man, I know that private businesses can issue the mask mandate. If they want it, is this company, are you guys using your mask, because it's company policy? Oh, no, I do it to make, the clients comfortable. And I said, well, I'm fine. You don't have to wear it if you don't want to. It's not a problem for me. And he said, no, I'm going to leave it on. So apparently, there are certain people, even though there is no mask mandate, And even though the CDC and other experts have said a lot of people who wear the mask, they wear them improperly. So the efficacy of these things is really low. And even with Omicron, and we know that like neck gaiters and those types of masks, they're totally ineffectual. So unless you have like a KN95 mask, how effective are they? But is there a psychological attachment to them now? There is something cool in the wintertime about wearing a mask. Keeps your face warm, right? Maybe when you go into a place, you figure, hey, people can't really identify me as much. You go to the pharmacy to get your prescription or you go somewhere else. It's like, hey, maybe there's a psychological element to this. Yesterday, the Senate passed a bill. I don't know if you're aware of this. And it passed with bipartisan support that would scrap the mask mandate for now for public transportation. And Senator Rand Paul, he sponsored the bill, and nearly all Republicans voted for it, along with, I think, 8 Democrats. Romney was the only Republican, believe it or not, to vote against it. And, of course, President Biden promised to veto it. No indication if House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was even going to take it up. But this comes after the TSA, the Transportation Security Administration, they extended its mask mandate until April 18th. I was on a flight last weekend to Houston, and I had to wear the mask the whole time. And it's just like, the air on an airplane is perhaps the cleanest air you're going to get anywhere, right? And all the filtration systems that they have. But all around the country, mask mandates are being dropped. People are feeling free to breathe once again. There was an Axios Ipsos poll. It showed about 66% of Americans think that COVID is really of little or no risk, and they're not taking up masks at this time. But 39% of Americans still under some kind of mask mandate from their employer. So, you're talking 4 out of 10. I can only imagine that those masks are off as soon as people step outside. And for kids especially, this is tough for them. But there are still some people who insist on wearing them. You can even see them wearing them outside when they're driving their car. I saw some guy on a golf course wearing one. I'm thinking, why are you wearing one? You're golfing by yourself. Why do you need a mask? Teacher unions, they want kids to wear them. And there are some parents who are insisting that their kids wear them. So let's talk about it. I've invited Dr. Meg Meeker, a very gifted pediatrician, a mother, best-selling author of 6 different books. She's got a website you can learn more about her. It's meekerparenting.com to join us today and to take a look at masks, the psychology behind them, the science behind them as well. And Dr. Meeker, it is a delight to have you with me again. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me, Drew.
Yeah, it is a delight to have you. I'm curious as to your view on the mask. A lot of people have abandoned them now. How effective are they? I guess it depends on the variant, too, and it depends on the type of mask. N95s are pretty good, but give me your sense on where we are as a nation and where we are with these mask mandates.
Sure. Well, the rules have kept changing from month to month as far as, masks and so forth. You're absolutely right. Really only N95s, quote unquote, work. Anything else is really a waste of time, particularly the little cloth blue masks that we all wear around everywhere. As far as children are concerned, I am a strong believer that wearing masks, particularly at this point in the game, is very harmful for them. First of all, kids are not at high risk for getting serious illness with COVID. As a matter of fact, we've never had a child die in the United States by COVID who didn't have another illness along with it, diabetes, asthma, something like that. By and large, 99% of the kids who get COVID have very, very mild symptoms. So I don't worry about kids getting COVID. I would, some people say, well, they need to mask so they don't infect other people. Okay, but they really don't infect other people nearly as much as we thought they did. There are some tremendous psychological harms done to kids by wearing masks. I see a number of young kids, 6, 7, 8 years old, who are afraid. They are afraid, and the masks remind them that there's a disease out there that may kill one of their parents. And this is a very real fear for them. So seeing their friends' masks and teachers' masks, they think, oh, it's still there. Oh, what happened? And this is very, very hard for kids. It's also interrupted a lot of healthy relationships between older kids because communication is different with masks on. They're uncomfortable. Some kids get anxious. You can't see full facial expressions and so on and so forth. So for me personally, in my pediatric practice, and I can say this for all of my partners, we have eight, we are strongly against children wearing masks because the harm dramatically outweighs the potential benefit.
To kids especially, right? I mean, cognitively, yes. we're seeing testing done on these young kids, and they're way behind where they should be, statistically.
Oh, absolutely. Right? From a psychological standpoint, it's very harmful. You know, we've seen suicide rates go up, depression rates go up. Kids who feel isolated and broken relationships turn to social media to reconnect. And we know that social media can be very harmful, particularly to girls with depression. So you get in a real vicious cycle. Even is a debate about whether kids need vaccinations or not, because A, we don't really know how well the vaccinations work, how long they last. And for me personally, I lived through the era, maybe you did too, Drew, where we didn't vaccinate against chickenpox, so we had chickenpox parties. You know, if your kid had chickenpox, all your friends would come over to expose all the other kids, right? Because we knew that if the kids got infected, their right. immunity was very, very strong. The same is true with COVID. Much better yeah. to have immunity through the illness than through the immunization.
Right. Well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to give the phone number out. We'll take calls in just a minute, okay? The number's 888-914-9149. Love to have you sound off, join the conversation, pull up a chair. Do you think we should be wearing them? We shouldn't be. You can share your perspective. And when we come back, we'll grab a couple of those calls. Doctor, I also would I'd love your take on the psychology behind this, too, because there is... I can understand how there's a certain comfort level, you know, with wearing a mask, especially if anxiety levels are a little bit higher when you interact. But we can talk about that too. There are some people who don't want to let it go yet. We can become creatures of habit. There is also comfort. There's also a psychological level to this. So the number here, I'm going to take a short pause. We'll come back. We'll grab your calls. 888-914-9149. We're taking a look at masks, and they're still in play. As I said today, the Senate passed a bill with bipartisan support that would scrap the mask mandate for public transportation. Don't know whether or not we're going to see it. The president said, not so fast. I'll veto it. So how much longer will masks be part of your future? Our conversation continues with more right after this.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
You'll get some real Catholic answers right here. It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. Always a delight to take a look at those issues that matter most, that affect you personally and affect all of us. We're talking about masks today. I was sharing a story because today the Senate passed a bill that would scrap the mask mandate for public transportation. I think that would be great. If you choose and you want to wear a mask, great. Go ahead and wear one. But the fact that it's mandated is another thing. It's not going to become reality because the president's against it. And as I said, I don't know whether or not we'll ever see a light come to that. But let me go to the phones. My guest is a very gifted pediatrician. She's been a contributor to this show over the years, best-selling author of about 6 different books and one of our country's leading authorities on parenting and teens and children's health. Great to have Dr. Meg Meeker with us. Dr. Meeker, let's go to Cassandra. I believe she is also a physician. Let me bring her on. She's listening in Minnesota. Hi, Cassandra.
Hello. Hi. My background is actually pediatric occupational therapy. I'm not a gotcha. Physician, but
right,
I work
good.
in the therapy world, and I was driving home from a school conference, and I was just filled with goosebumps and joy of the Holy Spirit to hear Dr. Meeker say everything she just said about how detrimental she's seeing the mask mandates for these children. I have been out of practice since COVID hit just because of other family dynamics, but I've been appalled at the idea of children across all developmental ages and stages and neurological abilities being masked in the sense that it is going to delay so much critical development. Mm-hmm. And I was appalled to see just recently the CDC has changed developmental milestones because of the delays that they're seeing. And now they took away crawling. And parents have no idea that if your child doesn't crawl, they are being set up for a great struggle to sit at a desk, to hold a pencil, to visually track what's happening on a computer or a learning chalkboard in front of them. I am very, very against mask wearing for children, especially in school. It creates such social, dynamic, stressful situations for them, and it's been weighing on my heart for 2 years. So I'm really grateful that you're talking about this today and that Dr. Meeker shared her opinion.
Well, Cassandra, I'm glad you called in with that perspective especially, and I didn't realize they moved those milestones. Dr. Meeker, I'll let you respond.
You know, you're absolutely right, and honestly and truly, I'm very surprised that a lot of other pediatricians aren't speaking out, but I guess I'm not, because those of us who speak out against masks and even against vaccinations are criticized so heavily. As a matter of fact, and this is a first in medical history, a couple of years ago, every physician, pediatrician, got a note from the American Academy of Pediatrics that if we spread, quote, disinformation about COVID or the vaccines, we were at risk for having our licenses revoked. Now, that's incredible, because never before have we ever been threatened to have our licenses taken away if we shared opinions. That's not okay. And I think that has really silenced a lot of good pediatricians, just because they think, I don't want my license taken away. And so there's been a lot of pushback against pediatricians and physicians. And I just think it's important that we stand up and say what we believe is true and medically correct and not be afraid of it.
Cassandra, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. I'm going to move along.
Thank you both.
We only have a few moments here. Cynthia is listening in Shakopee, Minnesota. Hi, Cynthia. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. I just had a question for the doctor and for you, perhaps. And I'm wondering why, if there's nothing to hide, the CDC was originally going to not allow information to be released until 2070-something. And I share the doctor's concern about doctors being muzzled for simply asking questions. That mm-hmm. is just astonishing to me. The science has not been settled. My daughter-in-law is currently living in South Korea with my son, and she is one of the fittest people I know. She's an instructor for Les Mills, and she has a degree in nutrition. They eat really well. She doesn't have hardly an ounce of fat on her.
Wow.
She developed acute pancreatitis within a day of getting the booster, and there was pressure on the doctors who were treating her both at the Army Base Hospital and the South Korean Hospital not to report it to theirs.
Mm-hmm.
That really is a travesty, and I absolutely agree, because we have, and I say we, our practice, have seen side effects that we believe are from the booster, but you can't report it because we say, well, we're not sure it's a direct cause and effect. You take any other vaccine, say somebody gets their pertussis vaccine or diphtheria, and you say, oh, this child had a seizure within 24 hours of getting the vaccine. If you didn't report it and you just passed it over and said, oh, well, that's the way it is, you know, you would be deemed such a horrible doctor. You would never do that. So in other words, if there's even a question about a side effect from a vaccination, we are greatly discouraged from reporting it or talking about it for fear of inciting fear in people to not get the vaccination. You know, as I said, this has really been so incredibly confusing for everybody, because I think that a lot in the media and a lot of, you know, CDC and everybody is trying to make things very complicated and convoluted, so that people don't understand. So they go, well, okay, we'll just wear a mask, I guess.
Gotcha. All right, hey, thank you very much. Margaret in Chicago has been waiting a while. She wants to sound off, too. Margaret, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew, and thank you for taking my call. And mine is more of a comment. And thank you very much, Doctor. I appreciate your comments as well. And I think, yeah, everybody's ready to get rid of the masks. And, you know, I totally believe for kids and just, you know, they need that. But my only comment is I wear a special N95 mask and I distance because I have to be really careful. I have a kidney pancreas transplant and I also have cancer. So my only comment regarding that is that people judge you if you do have a mask on, and I don't think they should. I don't know why people get so rattled if someone has a mask on. So that's just my only comment, that people should just really understand some people have serious conditions, and that doesn't mean everybody else has to, but just be more tolerant if someone needs to wear a mask. Because I'm not asking anybody else to wear a mask, you know, although I'm blessed. My friends do, you know, wear one around, like, we know, but I'm taking my own precautions. So I just wanted to add that to everybody.
Margaret, thanks for doing that, because you're not alone. I'm sure a lot of other people have compromised immune systems, and they certainly need to do that. And to her point, you can address that, Doctor, but I also address the fact that those who don't want to let their mask go, I mean, Margaret is a very legitimate reason for wearing one, and you know, people shouldn't judge, and Margaret, you shouldn't care what people think either, you know, but I know it can be hard. People look at you, they think you're, they look at everything partisan through a political lens, which is unfortunate. But what about those who don't want to let their mask go? There's almost a psychological dependence on this in some respects. Are we seeing
very much? Yes, very much so. I think there are a couple things at work. I think there's genuine fear. People don't know what to think. And so they're trying to be as cautious as possible, because even when people talk about the quote unquote science, people can't agree on what the science is. And so if people see that physicians and, you know, infectious disease people can't agree on the science, they think, well, what am I supposed to do? So they default to wearing a mask. So they're afraid, and they do that. The other thing that's very interesting is shame. People who don't wear masks have been shamed. In other words, it's sort of looked at as if you don't wear a mask, then you are not educated and you don't know what's happening. So those who do wear masks feel that the others should be shamed. And I think that's a very real thing. And that's a lot of the reason people don't want to take masks off, is because they don't want to feel shamed. And I really do think that's very real, because you've had two groups of people in the U.S. pitted against one another, mask wearers and non-mask wearers. And it's really a psychological warfare, and we just need to get over it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. My guest today, Dr. Meg Meeker. Let me see if I can sneak another call or two in. We're getting short on time. Patricia in Austin, Texas. Good afternoon. Take your time, Patricia.
Just a second. I'm coming.
All right. Okay. You have it, Patricia?
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
We can. Go right ahead.
Okay. I was just thinking, I read a little article, news article, saying the school, excuse me.
You know, Patricia, I hate to do this. I had to put you on hold. Your signal connection right now is really hard to hear. Dr. Meeker, and my apologies to Victoria and everyone else on hold. I have less than a minute to go. I want to get people connected to you as well. Best way to connect, I'm assuming, Doctor, is meekerparenting.com. Is that the best way to
Correct.
Get hold of you?
Yes, and I did a great podcast with Dr. Marty McCary on immunizations in kids, and he is just the national expert on this, and I would encourage people to listen to it. So, yeah, it's meekerparenting.com.
That's great. Well, thank you for being with us. We will catch up again soon. I appreciate your insight and all the great work you're doing. Dr. Meg Meeker is a pediatrician, a mother, a best-selling author. Check her out at meekerparenting.com, one of our nation's leading authorities on teens and children's health and parenting. I think you'll find her resources great. Hey, are you prepping? I've heard that sodium iodide has been flying off the shelves. People are worried about nuclear war. When we come back, we'll dive into that and more.